This is the first time we've had second time we've had six people. Well, you know, who am I kidding? We're filming in the same day, so
yeah, I was, we got six people. We're all wearing the same clothes.
It's a week for you, but it's about but 10 minutes for us.
If people aren't watching, then they wouldn't know that. But we got six people with us again today. We got John, Luke, Jacob, Reeves, Parker, and Luke, and myself, the host. So welcome back to the podcast, and we are going to dive into your questions and hope that we can answer them and that you feel like things we said was sort of beneficial. So let's get into it. First question is, what is your favorite parable of Jesus? Jacob?
Parable of Jesus?
Like, or parable that Jesus told?
A parable that Jesus told.
I'm going to pass this one off to Luke Daddy.
Blowing popcorn.
You could have just said like the you could have
oh yeah popcorn
like,
reading to
you
Luke.
You could have just said the prodigal son.
My bad, prodigal son.
Why?
No, I'm just kidding.
No. All right, I'll start.
Yeah.
I said the lost sheep. To where Jesus is saying, you know, talking about how you know you'd leave the 99 to go after the one, and just for me in my life where I used to be crazy and. Kind of right when I was coming out of that Corey Asbury song, Reckless Love, came out. And, yeah, just the idea of God abandoning the 99 to go after the one really just spoke to me. And I love that story. So the parable of the lost sheep is one of my favorites. But I also have many others. But I'll say that one for now. Anybody else?
I was going to say the shrewd manager because I'm edgy. But I actually think probably the prodigal son.
Parable of the sower for me. I think that's a really good one. I remember reading it in college, and there was this commentary by J.C. Ryle, who's really good. He's from a couple hundred years ago, but he has a really good commentary on the Book of Mark. But it really just stuck out to me just the way that, you know, we all have a real response to the gospel, you know, not only initially, but as we continue on in our journey, we can continue to receive the word, or we can let other things distract us. Like, it's just such a real thing that we all continue to walk out or struggle with is how do we respond to God's word. Mm-hmm. So it's always that stuck with me.
That was my other favorite one too.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm trying to do something a little different. I don't know.
I got one. What's the one you just said?
Three. Parable of the sower.
What's that one?
The seeds.
The seeds, like God's word.
They throw the seeds out, and some land on thorns, and they die.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But mine's the one where it's the talents to the servants, like where they dig the little hole, and that's what I think about, bro. That's what I think about. That's where I go back to. I could have said Cain and Abel, man. Come on.
That's not a parable.
I almost did say that. I was thinking about that for a joke. But no, for real, like just what you do with what God gives you, and like if you're just sitting on it, like digging a hole and living, or you like multiplying the things He gives you and does.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Reeves,
that was the one I was gonna say.
Yes,
I think it goes. You know, last week we talked about purpose, and that's just been an area of, you know, searching in a lot of seasons of my life, and I think ultimately, like, we just need to glorify God with what we're doing, and. Mm-hmm. For me, that parable is just a good check for me of like, maybe I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing at certain seasons. But all I know that I can do is whether I'm working a job in the, you know, just corporate workplace or working a ministry job, I think it's easy to get confused and think that, oh, for me to fulfill a purpose that God wants me to fulfill, I got to go into ministry. But no, I think on the contrary, we actually need more Christians in the workplace.
Yes.
And so, like, just like that parable, you can just pull a theme out of it and just say, you know what, I'm just going to glorify God with whatever I'm doing. And if He does lead me to ministry, then I will do that. And I'll glorify God with all that I do in that, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's good.
Something that stuck out to me in that parable lately is, I mean, obviously, you could say that everyone's been given a different amount of material things,
right,
I guess,
right,
and then
trust
from the Lord, but I feel like, man, we have all been entrusted with a lot.
Right.
You know, you can say it's, you know, whatever it is, 0 and 5 or 10 talents, whatever they said, or 1, 5, and 10. No, they didn't give them 0. But, you know, yes, I understand there's different levels, and that is true to that. But I felt if we all saw it as, man, we've all been entrusted with a lot from God. because we have, like, right. That's just the honest truth. Are we a good steward of that? Mm-hmm. Like, right. We are. It's funny, I heard Dave Ramsey say the other day, like, we're God's manager here on earth with the things we've been entrusted to. So, are we going to be a faithful manager of what He's given us to steward?
Yeah.
Because if we see what we have is valuable, then we're going to act more appropriately on that, right? But if we see what we have is it's not worth very much, or whatever, who cares what happens to it?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So,
no, that's good.
Anyways, I feel like I've learned that lately from that parable.
Yeah. No, and he was saying that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go back to the last pocket, but the purpose thing, it just made me think, like, people ask, like, let's just say I'm asking for something, but it's like, are you stewarding whatever that is, whether it's one thing, like, are you stewarding that right before your purpose now? Like, because you're not going to have purpose if God gives you five more things, you can't even steward one thing.
Right, right.
Like, how am I going to take care of two dogs if I can't take care of one?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the same thing. Like, that's just good.
Trusted with a little will be trusted.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it's exactly. Like, to find purpose, you got to take care of what you got now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What you going against the grain?
The parable of the mustard seed. And I was thinking about I know, just bear with me on this.
That's a good one.
But I was thinking about just like, just when you're a new believer, and I think if you're listening to this, like that we all start with a very, very minute amount of faith, right, when we start following Jesus. And so obviously with this parable, it's talking about something so small but can change the world. And goes on to talk about how the seed starts with, like, obviously very small, but it grows into this big plant. In the same way with what our faith does, right? It talks about how when the tree grows, it provides shade for the birds. It provides a place for them to live. And so I think that's the same thing. Like, that's representing the kingdom of God. And so, like, more, like, as believers and followers of Jesus, if that's what our lives look like, then we should be providing love and joy and, like, all comfort for people that are living in this world, mm-hmm. right? And so, in the world. I don't know. I wrote down a couple others that y'all had kind of talked about, but I think for me, that's so impactful to know, like, if you are just now following Jesus, know it starts with something very small. And I think we talked about doubt, especially early in your faith, that's where you see more doubt, right? And you don't trust Jesus with all you have. But over time, as we water those seeds and as we get into community and we do Bible studies and we get into the Word, we start to grow, and that's where we do start leaning into God more. I like that one. That was good for me.
Before we move on, I just thought about this other parable that I love, but I'm not going to probably say the right name of it. But it's the one where it's the same wages for the different people that have worked the different hours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the most relatable parables, because it's, you know, we all feel entitled to something, right? And the idea of you working 10 hours and then getting paid the same as somebody who showed up for the last, you know, 2 hours to work, you know, you feel some sense of because Jesus was like, that's the story of the parable is like, well, you signed up for this wage, right? So mm-hmm. but then you're getting paid the same as somebody who's worked less. So I don't know, I think that just calls out, you know, entitlement and just expectations of things. But I love that story and that parable. But all right, I feel like we can all speak to this one a little bit. I think it's a good question, especially for guys. But it says, waiting or wisdom on waiting for the right woman that God desires for me while having a hard time with my past.
All right. I like this one. I feel like a lot of people are in that place. You know, I feel like, I know I was in that place, struggling with your past, right, and reconciling the consequences of that, but also the shame and guilt and trying to move through that. But I feel like it's kind of a one answer kind of to both sides in my mind. But I feel like if you focus a lot more on just becoming the man that mm-hmm. God's called you to be, more than you're trying to focus on finding, like, the right person, that's really ultimately going to get you where you want to be mm-hmm. in the long run. Because if you're not the man that you need to be in a relationship, then even if you find the right girl, you're not mm-hmm. where you need to be. So it doesn't really make a difference. So I think in that process, when you're trying to be a more godly man, God's going to confront those things in you. You're going to go mm-hmm. through healing. You're going to need to confess. You're going to need to grow, which is, again, ultimately going to lead you to be in the right place to receive the woman that God has for you.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is, people get stuck up, I got to find the right girl. I got to find the right girl. Well, what are you doing to be the right
God,
you know, I feel like that's just so often
yeah,
the focus good. is the focuses on the wrong thing.
Yeah.
I know I've been there. I know a lot of us have been there, especially in college, you know, when there's that outward pressure. But
it's important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality, and that's why for the last 3 years I've been drinking AG1. Unlike many supplement brands, AG1 is constantly searching for how to do things better. At 52 iterations of their formula and counting, their team is always trying to find the best ways to source, test, and aim to find the best quality ingredients available. And quality for AG1 is not just a buzzword. It's a commitment backed by expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, and rigorous testing. At each step of the process, AG1 goes above and beyond industry standards. And I know that I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's tested for 950 contaminants and banned substances, while the industry standard typically only tests for 10. And taking care of my health should not be complicated. And AG1 simplifies this by covering my nutritional bases and setting myself up for success in just 60 seconds. AG1's ingredients are heavily researched for efficacy and quality. And I love that every scoop also includes prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support. And I've been partnered with AG1 for so long because they make such a high quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every single day. AG1 is a supplement that I love to drink every single morning before I work out or even just before I get the day started. It is a product that means a lot to me because it helps with my gut health. It helps me with my, I feel like it helps with my recovery. It helps give me energy and focus throughout the day. A lot of times in the morning, I don't like taking caffeine early, especially before I work out if it's early, like most mornings are. And AG1 just helps me get my day started. I think it tastes delicious. I love to drink it with cold water, just one scoop in the glass every single morning. And I've been partnered with AG1 for so long because they make such a high quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every single day. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. So try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase subscription at drinkag1.com/huff. That's drinkag1.com/huff. Go check it out.
Yeah, I think keyword has passed. You know, I think there needs to be a moment where, you know, that's the past and that's not, yeah, you know, your present. So I love that because, you know, you do have to, you know, become the man that, you know, that you want to become. There was a moment where, yes, I did a lot of stupid things, but there was a moment where there was conviction from that. There was repentance. And then there was a solid year where I turned from all that to where I'm now pursuing, you know, things to where I can be in a relationship because, yeah, I'm no longer living the way that I used to live. So I think just having your past truly be your past and not, you know, letting that become your current situation for where you're at. Yeah, wisdom waiting for the right woman that God desires for me.
Wisdom?
Said yes.
Wisdom for the... Thank
you. Yeah, I think it's just like, it's kind of just, it's just really comes down to patience and trust in God. Like, yeah, all of us, let's just throw a caveat here for your listeners. Everyone sitting around this table got married relatively young.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, we right, all didn't have to wait that long, yeah, to have great wives, right, you know. But like my friends in college, some of the godliest men that I know, like I respect them so much. And all of them, most of them have been getting married in like the last year. So right, like late 20s, early 30s, right, you know. And I just watch them just really not worry about it.
Yeah,
like,
just live.
I mean, there was doubts and there was times right, we talk about it. For the most part, they're like, God's put me in this place and like I don't have a wife, so I'm gonna do, you know, whatever my God's putting in front of me right now.
Right,
you know, yeah, we talked about this in the last episode. Trusting where you are, trusting the opportunities that, yeah, God's bringing you and just not worrying about
for
it.
Sure.
Really. Yeah.
I feel like all the things intertwine. Mm-hmm. Like all these mm-hmm, questions we've answered, yeah, so far is all intertwined.
Yeah. And but, I think, yeah, my point is like the wisdom being just seeing examples of godly men who got married later, right, who are saying, mm-hmm, yeah, they have, yeah, great wives, great lives, you know, just feeling, yeah, solidarity right, with them, that was an, yeah, example of God coming through with,
sure, yeah. And you said, in that question, you said, like, how do you deal with, he's asking, like, how do you deal with your past?
Mm-hmm. Well, it says, it's like, if you've had a, you know, a bad past, you know, how do you have wisdom on, like, waiting for the right one that God desires for you?
This is going to sound so simple. I just like,
when I think about that, because, like, I mean, just like you said, like, I've had my past, fair share of past, like, definitely dabbled in things very unholy, obviously. But I'm saying, like, being honest, like, just being honest with your past. I mean, like, it's the number one thing that made me overcome past and, like, just being honest. Like, I'm not scared to sit here and tell y'all my sins. Like, it's not a secret. Like, it's not something that I'm hiding. Like, it is who I was in that time period, but that doesn't mean it's who I am now. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the first step in, like, finding a good woman is, like, somebody said this earlier, like, you shouldn't even be worried about a woman if you're, like, can't deal with your past. You should just figure out your past head on, you know, with brothers and with Jesus and whoever that looks like. I'm not saying your grandma can't help you. It don't only have to be men. I'm just saying just dealing with that head on. And that's how I would say it. I wouldn't even worry about a girl. Like, Bella just, it just happened. Like, I was never planning on Bella happening.
Well, and the simplest thing is, like, the right woman that God desires for you is going to be the woman that, you know,
loves it all.
Loves your past. Yeah. Or, like, maybe not, maybe does not love the decision you made, but, like, that does not hinder the relationship. No, so if you're with somebody and there's, you know, skeptical about your past, or they, you know, they can't see past that, no pun intended, then they're not the right one. They're not the right person.
Exactly.
You know? So, like, answering your own question, the right woman that God desires for me, while having a hard time with my past, the right woman for you is going to be one that accepts your past that sees past it.
Right. And that doesn't mean you won't deal with the consequences of your past, because we all do. I still do today. I still deal with it today. But my point is like, that person will love you. You'll share your story to them, and they will say, hey, I still love you through all those things, and we can still move forward. Like, it's not a hindrance.
Yeah.
Like, I know who you are now, like, through God called you to be.
And to that same point, I feel like you're going to have to do the same thing for them. Exactly. You know?
Like, and we're not all perfect.
No.
Like, I don't know about y'all, but I don't know, many times I've shared stories with people, and then they throw in a nugget from their life that you never knew, because they felt vulnerable in that situation. So
I'm going to guess, too, that the person that asked this question is also kind of wondering or wanting to know, what does it look like finding that person that God desires for you? And maybe you didn't, but I know somebody else is thinking that. I would say you're not going to find the person that God desires for you is not going to be found at the bar.
I knew
or
it.
Or at a fraternity party or at...
More than likely,
it's probably going to be found when you start serving in a community of believers. It's like, if you want to find somebody that is also pursuing God, you need to go to places where people are pursuing God.
Yeah. Yep.
Like,
good.
So I think there's just a lot of people these days that are like, you know, there's that whole idea of, like, finding somebody and then coming to Christ together. Like, maybe it'll work.
Yeah.
But I just cut I've to the chase.
Seen like, that. Chap.
Recipe for disaster.
I mean, it's just not gonna go every time the way that you think it will. Yeah. I mean, you've got to get involved at church, and
sounds and like, good on paper.
There's the cliche saying that every college pastor probably says, it's when you're running after God and you look to the left and someone else is too, that's when you find them, and that's true. I mean, it is.
I think Ben Stewart said that.
I mean, I'm sure tons of people have said
that. My grandmother like, told me that too.
It's true though. I mean, it is kind of cliche.
My dog told me that.
Parker's grandma was
I'm serious. That's really annoying to hear if you have been pursuing God and it looked, it's you're so like, true. I'm not seeing them. That's and that's totally fair.
Yeah.
But at some point, like, that does come true. And so I would just say, hang on.
Just
focus on God, and that'll come.
That's good. But also, too, in the same way, I've seen situations where, you know, you definitely don't want to be the dude that has a past, and then you meet somebody, and they accept your past, and then they share their past to you, and then you don't accept it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've seen situations like that. Yeah. It's like, do not be that D-bag. I'm being serious that, like, a woman accepts your past, but then she's made her own mistakes, and then you're like, I'm out on that.
Like, like, who are you?
Yeah, like, it's, so, you know, if you meet somebody who has been through similar things as you have, you know.
It's a two-way street.
If they extend grace to you, but then you think you're above that, don't play that game.
Like, their sins are greater than yours.
Yeah, we're not saying that you have, just because they share their past and, like, it has to work out. Like, it's just... communicate and reciprocate compassion. Like, we all have our own stories.
Yeah,
like, God created us all, and we all lived out a different path. Like, you don't have to, you know, look down on somebody because they didn't do something or do something that you wanted them to have, like, as in a standard for the relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
because it can't, like, that's the thing. It's, you know, it can be just as hurtful for them as it is for you to have, you know, to have to go through those things with people's past. But like, you know, there is, you know, a humanness to that of having, you know, your feelings hurt by a decision that your spouse or your, this person that you're pursuing made in the past. But don't, that's the thing. It's like, if they accept you, you know, if they accept your past, don't view sins that this other person made. They're greater than yeah. mistakes that right. you made. So, but then again, like with that, there is a humanness that, you know, that might upset you or whatever, but don't.
You know, that makes you think of
what?
Don't hate the player, hate the game. You know what I'm saying?
Not really.
I just meant like, I was just joking, but I just meant like, don't hate the person, like hate the sin. Hate the like sin, that's just yeah. sin. Yeah, that's like good. That's all it is, no, it sin. Is true. I was just good saying enough. That for a joke, but it is. It's true. Point, it's though. The same thing. It's
I
like,
get what you're saying.
Don't hate like the brother, hate the sin that's brought into the world. Like, mm-hmm. obviously, yeah.
that's
like.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I've just seen the arrogance in that of like, you know, this person accepts all the junk that you've had and then they share it. And then it's like, oh, I don't
yeah, want to. Yeah, that's so chap.
It's like, don't.
I'm just saying, like, think about sharing your story with somebody, like, even like as a brother to brother. And then this dude's just like, jeez, I don't want to hang out with gracious, you. Like, yeah. Thanks, man. I really appreciate that.
Luke, you like you're brewing on something over here.
No. Luke's just
flipping pages.
He's brewing on laughter.
Well, no, I
he's our bookkeeper.
I was thinking everybody needs to
say, hey, Luke, you got Luke 2-8 on the schedule side?
No, I was thinking about contentment. I'm just thinking about in life because, like John Locus said, there's you know no men. And I think women struggle with it too more than men do, especially the older they get.
Right.
So even if you're a woman listening to this, I think when God calls us to like having full contentment or where we're at. So anyways, Timothy writes this. It's 1 Timothy, I think it's 6. Yeah, 6:6. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For when we brought nothing into the world, we can't take anything out of it. So I think having that mindset of just putting that in a relationship standpoint of being content exactly where we're at and being like seeking, and obviously it's Matthew 6:33, seeking first the kingdom and all else will be great. And so when I think of all else will be added to you, if God knows the thoughts and intentions of our hearts, he knows we want a spouse. But until we're ready, and this is what I've always been, I guess, mentored about, is like, God's not going to provide his daughter to you until you're ready to treat her and take care of her like he has, mm-hmm. right? And so regardless of where she's at and where you're at, like, as God designed this for man and woman, he designed us to lead in the capacity that he says, love your wife as I've loved the church. And so we have a big responsibility when we take that on, because it's now we're comparing the type of love that Jesus laid down his life for the church, and the same thing, that's what we're supposed to do for our spouse. Until we're ready to have that selfless attitude of, mm-hmm. I'm willing to wake up and die to self and then die to my wife, her needs, and all the things. So I know contentment was a thing that I've always had to, like, being content on where you're at and, like, where God has put you in, because he tells us that's great gain in that. And so I think we can miss a lot of opportunities in ministry when you are single, because we are looking for, we see our buddies and they're all getting married, and mm-hmm. But man, God's plans are, you know, the way we look at them are on this plane of the, but he's looking at this level. So it's mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, that was something good for me to point out. Contentment,
that's good.
Amen, brother.
And just for the people listening, if people get wigged out, Timothy did not write Timothy, it was Paul writing to Timothy. Yeah. Just to clarify that for somebody listening.
Yeah, what did I say?
You said Timothy writes.
Oh, yeah. Well, Paul was speaking to him as a son, too. And I think that's a big thing to understand, a father mm-hmm. kind of yeah. talking to down to a son of like, hey, yeah. like coming from me, know that being content mm-hmm. on where you're at, it's okay to be where you're at. Because mm-hmm. that Paul lived that out, through, right? Yeah. Like he had been through that. So I think like, we can sit here as married men and say like all these things. But like we also were single at one point. So anyways, yeah, thanks for pointing that out. I guess I should have clarified.
All right, next question. I'm struggling with having random lustful thoughts pop up in my head. What do I do? Anybody want to start that?
Pray, think about something else. I mean, that's like, I feel like that's a forever thing. I mean,
I was just about to say when you said like, that.
Me too.
Yeah, like.
Pretty sure we all do.
Yeah.
Nature of man.
I was kind of, this is not necessarily with random thoughts, but this is like, it kind of is. Just thinking about just like lust in general and, mm-hmm. and how it kind of aligns with self-control. And mm-hmm. if you find yourself having lustful thoughts or things popping in your head or whatever, like that's part of like a larger thing, like of your whole life. So like, what is the habits that you're doing in your life? Like in what ways can you change your habits and change your literal schedule to, you know, avoid yeah. moments that you know that you're going to struggle in.
Right. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. I think, and this is even just like advice that I've heard and I've done this in my life. If I've never struggling with that or have a thought, I'll just out loud say, nope. Mm-hmm. Now let's move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, that's but good. It is, you know, you're all gonna, and I think having people around you that, you know, one, obviously the Bible says to take every thought captive in obedience mm-hmm. to Christ. So there's, right. there's the aspect of it too, where, you know, there's a difference between, I think, struggling with a lustful thought and lingering in a lustful thought.
Yeah.
Because struggling with a lustful thought is you see something, it pops in your head, and then you immediately, you kind of turn away from it, or you, you know, say no or something like that. You're versus
fighting against it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're fighting against it versus kind of sitting in it and like, you know, hypothetically thinking about a situation. Like, so yeah. I think like, it's kind of just what comes after you have that
yeah.
thought.
Yeah.
But I think you also got to surround yourself with people that you can, you know, call and confess things with of, mm-hmm. hey, I, you know, I not only did I have this thought, but I lingered on it longer.
Right.
And I thought about it and I just want to call and confess mm-hmm. that to you. She can pray for me.
No,
so
that's good.
It's kind of, yeah.
No, I love that.
It's an ongoing really battle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But are you actively fighting against yeah. it when you have
like,
it?
Made me think, like, because obviously we all have phones today. Like, we all have social media. It's like seeing something on the Explore page, you know, that just, like, pops up there. And it's like, you see it. And it's like, what do? Do you run from it or do you click on it? Mm-hmm. And then do you click on the page? And then do you scroll down the page?
Mm-hmm.
And
then, right.
Like, that's what it made me think of. I was like, that's just mm-hmm. good.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was getting at. Like, yeah. if that's when you're having your – if it's TikTok or Instagram or whatever, yeah. it's like, well – let's change your habits.
Right.
Another thought, and y'all might actually disagree with me on this. I don't know. Just thought of this. To me, it's like just to make it clear, like sexual desire is not bad or evil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like even God places it in the context of marriage, but having that initial like desire is like a natural part right. of life.
Humans.
That's
right.
humans right. like we have a sexual desire and that is a good thing in and of itself, in the same way that like anger can be a good thing, like right. there is righteous anger, like
right.
being able to be angry right. is a good thing, but then it's how you react to it.
Yeah, like, no, that's good.
Do you, you know, when we talked about a few episodes ago about like cussing and just controlling the tongue in general of like right. when you have that anger, but that pain, what comes out of your mouth
right.
is, you know, from an overflow.
Right.
Like, can you control what comes out of your mouth? Yeah. In the same way, like, having that thought may not be, having that thought isn't evil, but then it's,
how do you use it?
Can you take control yeah. of it?
No, that's so true.
And we don't have the willpower to do that comes from God and not from us.
Yeah.
No, I think good. There's two types of scenarios that this is typically taking place in, and one is digital and one is in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so obviously there's the digital ones, which we've kind of hit on. And like, if you're on social media or on your phone on the internet, like it's about identifying the problem. So like, it's pretty easy to identify the sin issue if you're clicking and going and searching and digging. Mm-hmm. And so you have to turn away from that. That's mm-hmm. where that action has to come into play of like, okay, I'm going to fight against this, or saying nope. And then going and doing something else. Mm-hmm. But there's a really real scenario here, and like you said, I mean, we can kind of debate this and go back and forth, but if you're walking down the street with your significant other or not, whatever, by yourself, whatever, and a beautiful girl is walking towards you on the same side of the street,
mm-hmm.
you're going to see the beautiful girl. Like, you're like, you're looking where you're walking, like, there is no, you're going to probably notice the beautiful girl.
Right.
It is what you do, like you said. Like, are you yep. lingering on that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing wrong with just looking at, like,
people.
You have to look at someone to say hi to them.
Yeah,
you have to look at someone to not walk into them. Like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you're going to look at them, but don't keep, like, don't turn around as they walk past you. Right. Like, don't keep looking. Yeah, like right. That's where you have to identify the problem, identify the sin.
Yeah. That's good.
And know that it is sin. That's conviction.
Yeah.
Well, even in the question, really like good. Having random lustful thoughts, I think if you are having random lustful thoughts, I think you look at, you know, the inputs in your life. And like even like you just mentioned, if you can go on your explore page and it's, you know, women right. in bikinis and yeah. like if it's inappropriate stuff, then I would argue that they're not really necessarily random lustful thoughts.
Yeah. You're feeding
because,
it.
Like, you're just feeding it. Yeah. If it's like, you know, you're having these thoughts later, it's like, oh, well, maybe it's because mm-hmm. I was searching this all day on social media.
You know
it's
what's
like,
crazy, yeah. though? I'm glad you said that. It's crazy that, like, guys, let's just say you're following God. Like, I'd say if you're following God right now and you have people on your Instagram, like, in bikinis, like, whatever, like, showing it, like, whatever you want to call it. I'm not even saying, like, naked. I'm saying just, like, straight up, like, in bikinis or whatever. Like, I would advise you, like, very highly to, like, unfollow those yes. people. Because, like, I see people all the time that claim, like, it's just, it didn't work out for me. Like, it's yeah. not good for no. me. Like, I don't even follow family members or people like that. Mute them, like, get them off. Like, yeah. it's yeah. just everywhere these days. You let one person in,
that's
like,
right.
one friend, like, or your cousin. Like, I'm not saying your cousin, I'm just saying, like, people, like, showing, like, just very, I guess, it's accepted today. I don't know yeah. what the word would be.
Go to
it's
who
not
you're
provocative.
Following. Go to who you're following on social media. And if you're following any account with the person in a bathing in a swimsuit,
yeah.
unfollow it.
Whether it's in the summer, yeah. like
whoever
they only
it
do
is,
the summer, like, just,
not, like,
you don't
just
need
eliminate
it.
That. Like yeah. for me and Sandy Matt, I did that. I was going through every person I was following, and if there was any kind of just provocative picture, which it was not many of them because I never really followed those people, but like if it's like a right. friend, and it's like just in a bathing suit, then I just that. Unfollow it. It's like, I don't want that on my thing.
Like, if that's not working. Take my advice and don't have social media, at least mm-hmm. for an amount of time.
Right.
Because on that digital side of what I was saying earlier, if you are scrolling through Reels, you don't get to decide what's coming
yeah,
next.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm telling you, I've sat there with my wife and watched Reels because there's funny stuff on there. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, educational stuff on there.
Yeah.
But, like, the next one could be, like, something
that's
crazy.
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
So
that's random.
If you're looking yeah. on there all the time,
right.
you're like, it's not even in your control.
Yeah.
You got to get off that.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to get off.
Yeah. What sacrifices are you willing to make to really eliminate that from
yeah.
your life?
You know? Exactly.
There
how
shouldn't
bad,
be
how bad do you want it? How free do you want to be?
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny. That's what I was trying to say earlier. Like, it's not someone being naked. It's like, what? Like, where's the point where this person's going to draw you into being lustful thoughts? Whether, let's just say, I'm mm-hmm. saying, is it cleavage? Is it what they're wearing? Is it what they're showing off? Like, is it like what they represent? Like,
yeah.
It could be a yeah. multitude of different things. Like, it doesn't have to be like, oh, they weren't naked, you know, yeah. a big deal. It wasn't porn. Like, I mean,
right.
You're justifying it.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
There's a line
right.
that doesn't need to be crossed.
Yeah. Like, and it, like sure. y'all all kind of said, it's crazy how, like, acceptable a lot of that is. You know, like,
no, bikini pictures is like a thing these days.
Yeah. That's I want to, before we get off of this question and go too far into this, I want to say to the girls listening to this, like, we're not, like, disparaging girls for wearing bikinis.
Yeah,
and
no,
wear,
no,
like
no.
that isn't that's not actually the problem. The problem is your own
view.
Lust and sin
yeah.
and
right, right.
of it. Like
yep.
Jesus was abundantly clear on if you look at a girl and have lustful thoughts, like rip your eye out.
Right.
Like, Jesus was super
yeah.
clear. The problem is with you
right,
and
yeah.
not them.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
not
exactly.
Yeah.
There is another discussion on modesty.
Oh yeah,
but
for sure.
That is not our problem.
Exactly. We're saying as
question.
Men, the line is crossed. Like,
right.
you want to post that? Cool. I'm just not following you.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Straight up.
Also, don't rip your eye out. That is an analogy.
Yeah, that's a hyperbole. Yeah,
don't
actually.
Like don't go blind for fun.
but I think with that hyperbole, it shows the extent that you sometimes do have to make.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because sometimes it's like, do I want to, you know, cause myself to stumble, or do I want to possibly hurt somebody's feelings?
Yeah.
You know, and like, yeah, you know, like you said, not to disparage women, because yeah, in certain contexts, yeah, obviously there's a separate conversation
yeah.
about modesty, and I'm not getting into that. I'm just saying, for you as the guy, if you struggle with lustful thoughts and you look at who you're following and it causes you to have those thoughts, then either mute them or unfollow
yeah.
them or whatever, because yeah. your sin is more important than somebody else's, you know, hurt feelings about why you feel a certain
yeah.
way. So,
right.
You just have to get serious about your sin. So
it's like, yeah,
in today's context, you unfollowing somebody might look like you gouging at your eye or cutting off your hand. Like,
yeah, that's good.
And from a hyperbole standpoint, like, you have to get practical with things that you're struggling with. And if for you, if that's not a struggle, if that's not a sin, then whatever. Yeah, but like, if it's causing you to go down a path, then you can't worry about what somebody will think if you do this. You have to address your own life.
It just makes you think, like, I don't know what the word would be, but like harsh consequences. Like, it's like an alcoholic. An alcoholic cannot have a drink of alcohol. If you're struggling with lustful, then like lustful things, like anything that causes lust, you might as well just cut it off at the head. Just like, just take it away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's what I was just thinking.
Like, Reeves made a good point about like real life too. And because that's like, you have to live. You have to go out and interact with people. Mm-hmm. And which means that like it's a hard issue that you have to deal with God and, you know, ask for willpower, ask for prayer and accountability and all of that. Yeah. And it's a process.
For sure. It's like, we hadn't even said this yet, but I mean, the beach. Mm-hmm. Like, if we're not even going to talk digitally, let's just talk about the beach. Everybody wears whatever they want to at the beach.
So. Don't wear sunglasses.
What? Don't wear sunglasses?
Yeah. That's a trick.
That's a good one.
If you don't wear sunglasses, your eyes can't wander.
Yeah, that's good.
There's a verse I just remembered that when I read it for the first time really helped me in this area. 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 18, like, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits is outside one's body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Mm-hmm. Literally says sexual sin, like, has a greater consequence essentially than all other sins. Like, realizing what you are doing to yourself.
Yeah.
Yep. And the consequences of that, like, it's more than just a moment of struggle or whatever. Like, it has real consequences, and it really hurts.
It's internal.
You know? Mm-hmm. It hurts how you view women, your consequences in your future marriage, relationships with all women. Like, it just had the weight of the consequences of our sexual sin is so big. Mm-hmm.
It is. You know, part
that, that helped me go, oh, wow, like, you need to really check myself because this is not just affecting myself.
Right.
Yeah. It is affecting myself greatly.
Let's read 19 and 20, as it says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? For you are from God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body." Mm-hmm. So remembering what you said of that first part is like what that sin does, but know there was a price paid for you that's way more worth than hurting somebody's feelings or unfollowing somebody or protecting your eyes, whatever it may be. So, I've got that highlighted asterisk on the
one. I want to ask a question to everybody. I just thought of this. I feel like, obviously, we all deal with lust, but like, thank God I don't deal with a lot of the same things I used to deal with. But I feel like when you like let lust like take in like your life, like kind of take a grip on you, or you like struggling watching porn and things like that, I feel like that's that's what I was going to ask everybody. I feel like that's a big thing that causes a lot of people, or at least for me back in that time, like being numb like to things, like numb to like the Lord, or like numb to like how you view people and talk to people. I feel like you cannot, like, there's like some type of block that like creates you to view situations and conversations like in a totally different space than like I can right now with like a clear mind. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not saying I'm perfect, I'm just saying like a clear mind. Like, I'm not visualizing like everything. I feel like when you get obsessed and get into the lustful things, like you visualize a lot of things sexually or like this and that, like just in a very like twisted mind. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Just kind of a thought I had.
Yeah. I think that was with any sin.
Yeah.
Like anytime you're like continually sinning.
Right.
And where it talks about like the searing of your morals.
Right.
Like any sin that you have ongoing, it's going to like numb you.
Right, right, right.
Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to.
Well, because you're going to feed. You're going to feed that, whether it's through porn or music or movies. Your tolerance for that is just going to slowly. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's the same with alcohol. It's like if you build up this tolerance, then you're going to be able to drink more. It's like if you're addicted to pornography, then you're not going to feel bad for watching this show or for listening to this song. It's like it's just kind of a slippery slope of like, if you divulge in that, then, you know, other things are slowly going to, you know, you won't be probably as patient. You won't have self-control, like, you know, like what the Bible talks about.
Yeah.
You won't probably be living in peace because you'll be thinking about sex all the time and drinking and alcohol. And it's like, so it just kind of.
It's just like good questions. Yeah, it took me back to like let's just say 16 and just like thinking about all I was struggling with, like thinking about now how like there's no way then I could treat and love my wife the same.
like if I was doing those same things. Like I just like think to myself now, like it's just so it's different.
Yeah.
It's like
a whole tying this question into the one we talked about earlier, I just encourage you if you're listening to try to rid this as much as you can before you do get in a serious relationship. Because you know, the last thing that you want to bring into your dating, your engagement, your marriage is just having a life consumed with having these lustful thoughts.
Right.
So that's key word on my past from earlier, you know, let that be your past and become a new person. And you, you're still going to stumble. You're still going to mess up, but it's just, what does that stumble look like? What does the struggle look like? Does it look like you actively fighting against it, or does it look like you giving into it and, you know, just embracing it at times? Because you are going to mess up. You are going to stumble. We all sin. We all still struggle with, you know, with these things from time to time. Mm-hmm. But the struggle looks different than what it used to. Used to, if I had the lustful thought, then I'd go watch porn. I wouldn't feel bad at all. Then I would go probably watch this movie, and I'd go back in my car. Then I'd probably go smoke weed. Then I'd probably, so it's like, that's what the struggle looked like for me. But the struggle now, it's if I have this thought, then I verbally say no. I turn my phone off. There's things that you do that you're actively fighting against it. You're not necessarily just giving into it and letting it overtake you. So confide in other people. I think just get guys around you that you can confess things with, because that's, you know, we talked about that the last week in James. You know, confess your sins to another so that you may be healed. So confess your sins to your brothers, to your friends. We're all going through similar things. And
yeah, one of the best things I ever heard about lust, and I know y'all four, me and Reeves don't have children, but y'all can attest to this. Like, one of the best things I ever heard of is, like, if you really break it down, like lusting and stuff, like let's say you're lusting after whoever, whatever that looks like for you. I'm just saying, like somebody said, think about people that you lust after, like porn and everything and all that, whatever. It's like, that's somebody's daughter. All right, y'all all have daughters. Mm-hmm. And it's like viewing that and like breaking it down to the thing, like you're viewing someone that was created in God's image and they have a father, whether their father's in their life or not. And then like they're getting exploited and you're taking it into your possession and like committing the sin against yourself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you take yourself to that place, it's like if y'all's daughters, like you would never want someone to view. And just like Luke said earlier, like, who would you, or like somebody said in here, like, who would you want to date your daughter? Like, who would you want like the man to be? To like, so I feel like taking all that baggage into it, I'm just like thinking to myself, like, it's just kind of sad that like the world is okay with like exploiting like people's daughters. Just like if you're exploiting people's sons, like it's the same thing. It's just like kind of sad. Mm-hmm. It's sad how acceptable everything has gotten to. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a great discussion. Thank you so much for you all being here. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned next week as we have our last episode of this season of the Fort Mint podcast. So stay tuned next week, and we're going to dive into more of y'all's questions and hopefully be able to answer them. Thank you so much for joining.